Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including Intuka, trying to smash it into one
and
word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour here, Felger and Maz. Mike's out today, so I'm in the a-hole chair. Jim Murray is alongside. And McCone, Tim McCone, has been here to give us headlines on Major League trading deadline Tuesday, July 31st. Deadline came and went at 4 p.m. without the Red Sox adding any help to their bullpen, and we will be largely caller-driven here in the last hour. I find this unfathomable. To me, the most basic move you make as an executive come the trading deadline, when you have a contending team, the most basic move you make is bullpen help. Everybody needs bullpen help. You never have a perfect bullpen. The Red Sox essentially have the same bullpen they've had for the last year or two.
Oh, but Tyler Thornburg's starting to show, and so is Brazzers, or whoever this kid is, who's okay, looked a little bit decent, but that's what you're hanging all your hopes on in this postseason, this likely 111-112 win Red Sox team. That's what you're hanging your hope on. Joe Kelly, Matt Barnes, Heath Hembree, Brazzers, Tyler Thornburg, the wheel of gutless bums. You've got to be kidding me.
I mean, it is. It's astonishing, Murray. It really is. That a guy who's been in the game as long as Dave Dombrowski has, and it's been around the game as long as Dombrowski has, and has suffered the failures in October that Dombrowski has suffered.
This is the albatross on this guy. You can't spin this. Are people starting to spin this? Please tell me people are trying to spin this. You can't. This was the one need that they had more than any other going to the trade deadline, and they did nothing. Nothing. 15 other teams in playoff contention added relievers. The Red Sox were the only one that didn't.
Brett is in a car. Brett, what do you got?
Maz, Jim, what's going on? So no trade deadline moves for the Sox. Pomerantz, Price, or Erod, they need a lefty for these matchups. What do you think?
Okay, what would you do, Brett?
Honestly, I think Price pitched well last year out of the pen. I mean, if Nathan Eovaldi can keep it rolling, then why not? We need a righty for a starter. Three lefties, I think, in the rotation, kind of tough. But I would go Price, probably. He pitched well out of the pen, and we can rely on that.
You know, I love the fact, too, how everybody's all of a sudden worried about that the Red Sox have too many lefties in the rotation, as if that's a bad thing. Like, if you have to go in New York and you have to play the Yankees, it's a bad thing to have lefties? It's like the ideal thing to have, unless one of them's Price and he gets his brains beat in all the time. Then that's a different story.
I can feel the poo going down my leg.
So, look, the idea of putting Price in the pen, I like it.
So do I. But you would have to have Eduardo Rodriguez come back and pitch the way he was pre-ankle injury. Like, ideally, that's what I would like to see. He comes back, goes into the rotation, and it's Price that ends up becoming, you know, the de facto Andrew Miller of a couple of years ago coming out of the bullpen for the Red Sox. But you have to convince him to do so. Then you're going to have those that bitch about $30 million. Like, I don't care about the money. I think that's where he can be most effective.
So I wonder if the Red Sox are going to go this route. And I'll tell you what, if they do, I'll give them big props. I will give them big props if they go this route. If they're just playing dumb right now because they look at Price and say, no, he's legit. He can help us in the bullpen and give us two innings. But we're not going to say it now because Price will pout about it, and then he'll suck down the stretch and who knows what. So you know what? We're going to wait and spring it on him at the last minute. Like, I kind of like that idea, but I'm just not convinced that that's...
Are they that forward-thinking? Do they strike you that way?
It's a good question, Murray. I doubt it. Rob's in the recliner. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. Good show. McCown, are you an analytics guy?
What? Are you an analytics guy, McBone?
I'll dabble, yeah.
I was curious what analytics guys think of the bullpen, because I know you were just rattling off on the top in pretty much good stats for bullpens. I mean, I think it was the most glaring need, but I just wonder if teams had it by the short hairs, because, I mean, our top tier prospects are like other teams' second and third tier prospects.
Rob, this was a big part of it. Again, which is why the Red Sox are spinning it the way they're spinning it, is that they didn't have a depth of prospects to deal from. In fact, I would argue that they really don't have any real prospects, period. So what they had to do is they had to protect kids essentially in A ball. Kids like Brian Mata, who's a right-handed pitcher, 19 years old, who other teams now covet. But he's an A-ball kid, which means he's not even a real prospect yet. You don't get a real reading on him until they get to double A. But nonetheless, this kid might have potential. But he's an A-ball. And the fact that the Red Sox didn't have other prospects along the way is why they didn't want to deal him. They don't have any pitching coming, people. Jay Groom blew out his elbow. He's going to miss all of next year. And you're going to have guys coming up for free agency here. Pomeranz is done at the end of the year. Kimbrel's gone at the end of the year. The following year, Porcello's up. Maybe David Price opts out. Where are you going to get starting pitching? You don't have any in the system. So Dombrowski had the comment today, Murray, the one that you read earlier from Twitter, where he said, or and maybe Ian Brown was paraphrasing, where he said that there were prospects that other teams wanted, according to Dombrowski, but the Red Sox had to be careful because they're trying to, quote, restock their system. And I shouldn't say, quote, that the quote is from Ian Brown's tweet, not from Dombrowski.
Yeah, Dombrowski said notion is wrong that Red Sox didn't have chips other teams wanted. Dombrowski said there were certain prospects he didn't want to trade as the team tries to restock farm system.
Right, there were certain prospects he didn't want to trade. You know
he's
why?
He's paraphrasing.
Because he didn't have enough of them. He didn't have enough of them. That's why he didn't want to trade them. They wiped out their system. They're near the bottom in the rankings, though. He's turned them into the Detroit Tigers. You know that, right? You do know that as a fan. He's turned them into the Tigers. Now, maybe unlike Detroit, they will win. But until they do, that's what you have here. And every player he acquires now played in Detroit. Really, when you go right through the list of them, J.D. Martinez, Detroit. David Price, Detroit. Ian Kinsler, last night, Detroit. The Red Sox have modeled themselves after a Detroit Tigers team that have won nothing. Howie's in Cranston. Go ahead, Howie.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got to tell you, Maz, you hit it on the head when you said you were in the right chair. Oh, my God. And that's why you and Felger get along so well. I got to say, everything about all the things that you're saying about all these Massachusetts teams is negative. You're constantly on them. I'm trying to enjoy a year with the Red Sox. They're having a season like we've never seen before. The Celtics, who did fantastic, didn't expect them to go as far as they are, but now I've got such a good feeling about how this next year is going to come. The Patriots, all you do is pick on them and try and cause problems. You know, Belichick and Brady don't get along. The front house doesn't get along and all this. And in the meantime, all they keep doing is winning. You were there about, I don't know how many years ago, when they went 2-4 and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. You're negative, negative, negative. And then when they win it all, you're like, yeah, I thought they could do it. Yeah, you know, they're all right. Every time the Red Sox go to play someone, you say, oh, the league is watered down.
Howie, do you believe?
Nobody at that plate.
Howie, do you believe it? Do you believe in the Red Sox bullpen?
I do.
You do?
You know why, Matt?
Who do you believe? Who do you want to get the ball in the eighth inning?
Listen. You know why? I believe in them as a team, Maz. They're playing as a team. It's like when my kids played in Little League and they got along and they rooted for each other and they helped each other out. When one guy falls, the next guy picks him up. And that's what this team is all about. And I think they're going to go all the way and you're going to eat your words. But it's been a great year whether they do or they don't. How many times and how much money does it cost to go to a game and you get to see a win? How many years did I sit there and they would lose? It cost me $200. And we're miserable.
Yeah, listen, I can't speak to what you're
Can
spending.
You hang up on this cliche monster, please.
I can't speak to what you're spending at the ballpark, pal. I can't speak to what you're spending at the ballpark. But I'm telling you, last year, they won a lot of games, too. Was that your
Yay,
successful year?
Yay, regular season wins. Go, team. Regular season. Let's hold a parade when they win 110 and they get swept in the first round by Houston or Cleveland or the Yankees. Let's do that. I mean, that's fun.
Oh, God, really? Let's celebrate the regular season.
Let's
now.
Celebrate the fact that they're 1-6 in the last 2 years in the postseason. But, hey, division championships. Yes, yes, yes.
I hope
division championships. Yes.
Put up a banner just like the 16-0 banner.
Yeah, what happened to that? Oh, that's right. They took it down.
No, that's a great idea. When they win the division, they can put one up that says 112-50, and they get bounced in the first round.
I wonder if these people are going to rip the 04 team because they were the second best team in the American League East that year, and they won a championship. But you know what? The regular season matters more, so they didn't win enough regular season games, but they won a championship. So, you know, Bad season. No, regular season wins. Bad.
Apparently, the phrase of the day, Jimmy, is enjoy the ride. Enjoy the regular
season.
No,
I want a championship. I want a parade, for crying out loud. Why is that? Ugh.
Colin's in L.A. Go
you
ahead,
people.
Colin, you there?
You gave me a nightmare thinking about Joe Kelly coming in the top of the eighth inning, game five in New York City, ALCS, and then judges are like, I'm going to lose my mind. He did not make a deal. I'm going nuts. And there was a game over the weekend against the Twins. I forget what game
two
it was.
Two of them, Colin. Two of them. Thursday and Friday, the bullpen failed.
Don't you feel like Cora has something to say about this? It was the top of the eighth inning. Two outs. Nobody on. Up winning. And you bring in Kimbrel. There was no, you know what I mean? Like, he has no trust in the bullpen. Cora has no trust in the bullpen.
So, Colin, look, I tell you, it's an excellent point. And you know what? Now that I think of it, Cora made a comment to that effect here in the last few days. I'm going to go back and find it. I'm just trying to remember where I read it. Where he said something to the effect of, yeah, you know, the bullpen is still something we sort of got to keep an eye on. Like, that's something we got to do. It's a work in progress or something like that.
Well.
And he made that's
Murray. They have browsers now, so.
Yeah, that's Murray doing his Dave Dombrowski imitation.
I'm just going to give him table scraps.
For those of you who don't know.
Well.
But Cora, it's a great point. Like, is Cora looking at this going, you got to be kidding me. You want me to put who on the mound in the eighth inning? Joe Kelly? You believe in Joe Kelly or Matt Barnes? That's the guy you want me to put on the mound in the eighth?
Against Judge and Stanton, Bregman,
well,
Tuve.
We talked to them.
The mere fact that Tyler Thornburg is now getting the ball in the eighth, having accomplished so little, tells you how desperate they are in that spot. It's a great point by the caller.
We'll see.
Like Alex Cora? Alex Cora cannot be looking at this feeling good about it.
Well, and we talked to them.
And any time Cora has been asked about the Houston Astros method of putting starters in the bullpen last year, you know what Cora has said? Well, look, it worked out, but it wasn't exactly by design. I mean, it kind of happened that way. But I'm not sure that's the way we want to build it. And I'm paraphrasing there a little bit. But apparently now everyone wants to jump on board because the Red Sox can bring in relievers in the seventh inning in a 10-4 game against the Twins, and it works. As if somehow that's going to be the same thing as October against Houston and New York. Really? I'm blown away the Red Sox didn't make a deal at this deadline for a reliever. That they would make two trades.
We talked to them.
Yeah, exactly. But I know, Murray. I'm the a-hole.
Don't worry, Maz. They were in on Herrera. They were in on him. They talked to him.
Fitting the role perfectly. We'll continue with your calls when we come back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Trade for the Red Sox today at the deadline. Disappointing to say the least. The part of the story that really blows me away is Dave Dombrowski. That's the part of the story that blows me away, that the guy could be in the big leagues for 30 years as an executive. Dave Dombrowski is a GM and president of baseball operations for 30 seasons. He's won one world title in 1997 with a team that was effectively bought. He then went to Detroit, where he built a lot of good teams, many of which were undone by the fact that they did not have bullpens. Then they get to the trading deadline in a year where he has a team that's on pace for 112 victories. And he doesn't get bullpen help. I mean, really, just to me, unfathomable. Dominic's in Southbridge has a comment on other parts of the Red Sox. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hey, I like the Kimbrel deal because that frees up Nunez to play third. Because every time a ball gets hit to Devers at third base, my heart goes in my throat. It's like the relief pitching, especially in a close game, and especially as we go to the playoffs. That defensive liability is really going to cost us. And it's tough to lose the bat, so I don't really have a great answer to that. But defensively, it's going to cost us down the long run when the game is close.
Look, so Dominic, you know, Devers to me has been one of the more disappointing guys on the team this year. I'm not going to argue that point with you. The overall, I just don't feel like Nunez is all that much better defensively. I mean, how do you guys feel about Nunez defensively?
No, this year, down. It's been a down year for him overall.
I mean, he's bad at second base. There's no two ways about that. I'm not sure he's that great at third either. Like, I just look at Nunez, and I don't feel like Nunez is some sort of huge solution at third base over Devers. I don't think there's an appreciable defensive upgrade there. Paul's in Blackstone. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Real quick, so we don't get to hear the broadcast anymore when we're on hold, huh? The line's totally silent. It was a little freaky. I apologize if I'm a little out of sorts.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, you're right to complain.
Yeah, so real quick, so I completely understand the narrative of them not adding a receiver at the bullpen, at the deadline real quick, but the way you guys keep pushing that they didn't add any bullpen help at all, I just think is unfair. You've beaten his brains out over the Travis Shaw deal, and we finally get Tyler Thornburg. No, he came back a couple weeks ago. I don't know if he's going to be any good any more than if we'd added any other jabroni from some other team. They also brought in Eovaldi, which is almost certainly going to clear the way for a guy like Pomeranz or Eovaldi himself, a hard-throwing righty, to go to the bullpen in the playoffs and provide some help and some depth. They didn't add a reliever at the deadline, but spinning the tail that he didn't add any bullpen help and that it's just baffling, I think, is unfair.
Okay, so, Paul, that's not an unfair criticism. As it pertains to Pomeranz, you tell me, how much faith do you have Pomeranz in the late innings of a playoff game?
Look, faith in any of these pitchers is a completely different story than them adding somebody. I don't have faith in really any of them. The whole piece that they could be in deep trouble because their bullpen arms might stink or might pee down their legs in big games is completely fair. But the narrative that they didn't add any help just isn't true.
Okay, so look, I don't mind that point. Again, if David Price ends up in the bullpen or Eovaldi ends up in the bullpen, Dombrowski could land on his feet here. I don't rule that out. I don't love the Eovaldi pickup either, and it's worth a gamble. They didn't give up anything to get him. But why all of a sudden are people talking about Nathan Eovaldi like he's Mariano Rivera? I don't understand that one either. Like, to me, it's not just about getting a body. It's about getting something in the late innings that's a little more proven. That's what I'm talking about. I just feel like the Red Sox had options. There were relievers out there who were dealt that are better than what they have.
And what is more telling that 15 teams in playoff contention added bullpen arms? This team was the only one that didn't. This was a need. Okay, so maybe Tyler Thornburg is the guy that works out, all right? You know, he's finally worked his way through this injury, and he has looked pretty decent lately. It still didn't hurt to add another arm. Instead, they're bringing in, you know, essentially a utility second baseman at this point, and Ian Kinsler, and Eovaldi, okay, but he's going to be in the rotation. I'm convinced they're not going to put him in the bullpen. So what's that do? That means, you know, Brian Johnson's not going to be there. Does that mean Drew Pomeranz is going to go into the bullpen? Still, you need something better than that.
Yeah, I don't love the bullpen options either, Murray, and I just think that these playoff games are won in the final three innings. I do. I think a lot of them are
He went
that.
For table scraps. They needed a bigger move, especially when it came to the bullpen, and he did nothing.
I mean, what better evidence do you need than what the Indians did to the Red Sox 2 years ago about the importance of bullpen help, or the Kansas City Royals and the way the Kansas City Royals won a World Series by loading up their bullpen and being dominating in the final three innings? It's really the number one reason why the Yankees were where they were a year ago. And Cashman, to his credit, even went out and got more. Like, I just think that this is a huge part of the game now in October. It's the way people are managing it. Starters are less important. Now, look, in the case of the Red Sox, their postseasons have been done in by their starting pitchers. So you start there for sure. But if you're going to be good teams, you're going to need guys that can put up zeros in the late innings. You know, in 2003, for all the criticism that Grady Little got, and he deserved it, ultimately it's because he didn't believe in his bullpen. Then they went out and got Keith Foulke, and the next year they won it. So it feels to me like once they got a proven guy out there that they felt they could go to, that everything changed. And we know what Papelbon was in his heyday, and he had guys setting him up, whether it was Okajima or anybody else. And then in 2013, Uehara came out of nowhere, but Tozawa was really good. Chris is in a car. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Tony, what's going on? I agree with you 100% on everything you just talked about, like this last hour. I don't hate the moves, the Eovaldi, the Kinsler moves. It's whatever. I mean, I'm certainly not blown away by it, but fine, whatever. The frustrating thing about this whole thing is that Dombrowski completely neglected to address a need in the bullpen. And I don't know, that World Series he won one time in the last 20-something years must have been a hell of a World Series, because he's been fooling clubs. It's just very frustrating as a fan to see that, you know? That's all I got.
Yeah, so look, Chris, again, that's my only point, and this will play out. It'll play out. At the end of it, we'll know whether or not Dombrowski did the right things or did the wrong things. But the part that is frustrating about Dombrowski is the history of it. You would think at some point the guy would recognize that you have to fortify the bullpen to win a World Series. And I just think universally, many of us look at it, and it's not that hard to analyze. I'm hardly the only one that feels this way. There are a lot of people that look at that bullpen and feel like the Red Sox don't have the horses there to win against good competition in October. Maybe they do. Maybe Dombrowski will be vindicated. Maybe ultimately at the end of the day, he'll be right and say, see, you're a bunch of idiots. You don't know anything. In which case, we'll all be happy because they will have won a World Series.
Yeah, well, he can make the case that they have the stuff to be, you know, the guys that you can trust in the seventh and eighth inning in high leverage situations, Kelly, Barnes. I mean, those guys have the stuff. But more often than not, in those type of situations, to me, they look like nervous puddles, you know, and I don't think that's going to change, especially when you get to the postseason, and the lights are brighter, the games are tighter, you're in New York, you have to face Stanton, Judge, you're in Houston, you got to, you know, face the likes of Altuve. I don't like those guys in any of those type of situations.
Well, nor
should have the stuff, they don't have the sack.
It's nice to have confidence in guys in that spot, and confidence only comes when they've done the job before. I mean, I don't know any other way you can have confidence than to have done the job. Like, people need to know that you can do it before they're going to believe in you, and I don't believe in these guys the Red Sox have out there. The Patriots worked out a free agent wide receiver. Many of you are going to be happy about this when we tell you. McCones, get your headlines, and then we'll be back to talk about it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whether this qualifies for the breaking news sounder.
Yeah, it does.
But I'm tempted to use it here because, yeah, go ahead, Jimmy, hit it if you got it. What the hell? For crying out loud. This is not a small story, I don't think.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Murray? Go ahead. Sorry, McCone. You go.
Typically the guy in the update chair does
yeah,
it. Go
wake
on.
Wake up, McCone. What the hell's wrong with
chop,
you?
Chop, chop.
All right, so Red Sox ace Chris Sale, he is headed to the DL with a mild shoulder inflammation. It is retroactive to July 28th, 10-day DL.
Okay, so what does that mean? In the long term, it means he's not going to pitch against the Yankees this week, is what it means.
But that's a gut punch. This came out of nowhere.
Okay, so Murray, go ahead, because this happened literally as we just went off the air. It came over on Twitter, right, Murray?
Yeah, I saw Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston, with it first, and now it's been confirmed from the official Red Sox Twitter account. So this is, I mean, the guy's been going at like a late 90s, early 2000s Pedro Martinez-esque type of run here. He's been dominant. It's so much so that even me, with the asterisk, with a portion of it removed again, if you weren't listening earlier, because that was a big boy win last night, I really started to believe in Chris Sale going forward, even though he had a bad postseason in that one game he pitched last year, because I was like, okay, this guy's nails. I really don't have to worry about him. Price, the rest of these guys in this rotation, sure. But I think Price is going to be okay come the postseason. When did this happen?
So now, as Jimmy Stewart, our producer, noted, and I think it's a fair thing to point out, boy, kind of a weaselly move by the Red Sox. Dombrowski spoke with the media. Cora spoke with the media. Then they both disappeared, and then they announced that Sale's on the DL.
Well, I guess Dombrowski allegedly is coming back to talk to the media.
Okay, so
I
Dombrowski.
Would hope so.
All right, exactly. I would hope so. So we'll find out. We'll hear from the Red Sox in exactly how they are viewing this injury to Chris Sale. They are calling it mild shoulder inflammation.
No, you can't take their word on anything injury related with this team forever. But look, this guy. a lot of your hopes, especially come postseason, hinge on Chris Sale and how he performs. And he has been nails here for his last six or seven starts. But you also have to be realistic and be concerned about his physical makeup, how he looks, how he breaks down. Look, there's a reason they've been managing him the way that they've been managing him. So as good as he's looked, and I know that sixth inning in that last game he pitched last Friday against Minnesota got a little bit shaky there, but whatever, it was, you know, pretty much late in the game. He was nails up until that point. When did this happen? After the game, during that game, during a game, a long toss between now and then? Well, he was working out some, like, this is more than concerning. Like, this is the guy that you got to worry about him breaking down in this out of nowhere, 10-day disabled list, mild left shoulder inflammation. And I have his numbers from September, too, in his career, 32 starts in September with a record of 11-16, earned run average of .380.
Which is his worst month.
Right.
Yeah, that's his worst.
This is why they're managing him. This is why there's concern about Chris Sale towards the end of the season. The guy's spindly. He breaks down.
So
to happen now at the end of July is it's concerning, red flag, whatever the hell you call it, but it ain't good.
So, Murray, to your point, in his last nine starts, and this goes back to June 8th, so it's really been almost 2 months now, Sale is 6-1. The team is 7-2. Okay, but he is 6-1. His ERA in the last nine starts, 0.75. Nine starts, 0.75 ERA. In 60 innings, he has 97 strikeouts and 12 walks. And he is not allowed a home run. Okay, now, look, I want to hear what Dombrowski says on this. But instinctively, part of me wants to say, does everyone still think that the program to preserve Chris Sale is going along swimmingly and that it's working? Because here we are now in late July, August is beckoning, and all of a sudden, as you pointed out, Murray, the guy's on the shelf. So now there's an issue with Sale. Now, if this is a preemptive measure, and the Red Sox are going to tell us that, but let's see how long he's out. If this is a preemptive measure, well, then they should have done it at the All-Star break. I told you they never should have let this guy pitch in the All-Star game. And I'm not blaming it on that. I'm just telling you that if you were going to give him a break, give him a clean 2 weeks in the middle of the season. That was the time to do it. If they recognize that they could have used the break now and they missed it and that's what this is, fine. If they're at all trying to manage him further by giving him a break here at the beginning of August so that they have him full bore for the final 6 weeks, fine. I'm okay with that.
But I'm not going to buy that excuse. They have this upcoming series, this four-game series against New York, Maz. It doesn't make sense. The lead's not big enough. If that series doesn't go their way, the Yankees are behind by a half game.
I know, Murray. I know you're so right. And I believe me, I'm just trying to be fair. And it goes against everything I believe in and feel at the moment. Like, I don't know how you don't get concerned about it. I don't know how you don't get concerned. What do you got, McCone?
Yeah, so Dombrowski says it's mild inflammation for Sale. Brian Johnson's going to start Thursday against the Yankees. He's hopeful Sale can start at Toronto next week. He says, we think it's a short period of time. He just said it's really been more mounting. It's been something that's bothered him for a little bit.
Oh, that's good. That's great.
Do you think they just needed a bullpen arm? They used five pitchers last night. So they just figured they'd bump Sale back and they'd use Workman to get an extra arm in there?
No. I don't, and I'll tell
oh,
you.
I do.
I don't. I'll tell you why, Jimmy. Because you could stick anyone else on the DL if that's all you needed. You put Hector Velasquez on the DL.
He's hurt. He's hurt. There's no excuse here. The guy is built like a paper straw. No,
I think
hurt.
They're giving him a break.
Murray's
this is
right.
His All-Star break.
So I'll tell you, this is one of the things I worry about with Sale is the max effort all the time. Throwing 99 and 100 in the regular season. Pedro couldn't last when he did it that way. Pedro eventually got hurt. You just can't, the max effort throwing at 99, 100 miles an hour, you can't live that way. You can't pitch that way and last. You can't. Steven Strasburg from the day setting foot in the big leagues breaks down. You can't pitch at 100 miles an hour, most guys, and survive. Not when you're built like Sale. If you're built like Verlander, maybe. Clemens, maybe.
Yeah, because legs and ass. Like, but those guys really don't break down when they're pitching from their legs on their ass. When you're, look, Sale's the balls. And same with Pedro. When you're 100% right and you covered the game, those spindly guys do not last. That's why you always have to watch that guy. And as exciting as it can be to watch those guys mow batter after batter down, you always have to wonder, like, ooh, how long can this last?
Randy Johnson lasted pretty long.
Okay, so again, he's unique. But you're right, he did. He
Thank
lasted.
You.
Randy Johnson lasted. And some guys do. But in the case of this guy fades. This guy fades. And by the way, I would look up Randy Johnson's postseason if I were you, Jimmy.
It was really good one year where they won a world championship.
And you know who he had on his staff?
Curt Schilling.
Okay. So other than that, check out his postseason history because Randy.
Look it up, Stu.
Randy Johnson faded a little at the end, too.
I remember him having a dominant second half with the Houston Astros, too.
I wish I had said this earlier in the year. The fact that guys are throwing 99 and 100 in the regular season, like, I always look at that and go, what are you doing? Why are you throwing that hard in the regular season? You should be able to pitch at 96 and be just fine. That's plenty. Why do you have to get to 99 or 100? Pedro never pitched at 99 or 100. And when he did, you know what happened? He hurt his shoulder. Matt's in a car. Matt, go.
So I just kind of want to address the Chris Sale thing before I get to my main point.
Sure, go ahead.
You mentioned how he always fades. Now, do you think that maybe it's a possibility that he was on Chicago, he never really had to pitch in any meaningful game in September, and he just never prepared to, at least before?
So,
and
Matt,
maybe now?
Matt, it's a good theory, but what happened last year?
Last year, in mid-August and September, he also broke down. Maybe he wasn't prepared because he trained the same way he typically did.
Yeah, so I don't think that was it. And the more I look again, to me, if you look at Sale's history, I don't think like last year he went at it any harder than he did in other years in Chicago. And I'll tell you why. Because in Chicago, one of those years, they tried to get him to be more pitch efficient. Who's the pitching coach there at the time? I want to say it was like Don Cooper or someone. That I think they went to Sale and said, you know what? You need to be more efficient with your pitches because you're going to lose gas in August and September. So they went to him in Chicago. And ultimately, it didn't really work because Sale faded at the end of the year, but the White Sox had a bad year that year. So then he came to Boston. You know what the Red Sox did? They ignored it. They ignored his history. The organization that's so big in the numbers and everything else, they ignored the fact that Chris Sale faded in August and September. We talked about it last year at the beginning of the season, Murray, that Sale had a history. And the Red Sox ignored it.
Johnson, by the way, his best months of ERA are August and September.
Okay. But again, how about the playoffs?
Both months under three.
Okay. Pretty good. Sully's in Watertown. Sully, what do you got?
Strong to quite strong.
Hey, guys. I can't hear you flap your gums while I'm on hold anymore?
That's correct. Yeah, we're working on that, Sully.
Okay. Real quick, I don't know if you guys noticed, but he was out dancing around in the 13th inning celebrating with the guys. Hope this isn't like one of those freak accidents or injuries.
So interesting. You know, I didn't notice it last night. I didn't stay up for the very end of the game. I mean, good luck. I'm not checking in for 4 hours. Sorry, I'm just not doing it.
I don't think anyone piled on him. It didn't look like anything bad happened.
No, it sounded like, look, again, it may be nothing. It's just hard to trust the Red Sox in this sort of thing. And McCone, you look like you get something else.
Yeah, Dombrowski says that they think it might be a change in Sale's slider grip that may have caused the shoulder trouble.
Oh,
and why did he change the slider grip? Anyone know? My guess, I don't know, did the pitching coach recommend it? Did Sale do it on his own? Whatever it is, honestly, I don't care what it is. The fact of the matter is that the Red Sox are now entering August. You're getting into the pivotal months of the baseball season. They have a little cushion, and Chris Sale just went on the DL with a sore shoulder. So, like you, Murray, forgive me if I have some anxiety about this. No Sale, no chance. Forget the bullpen. You have no Sale, you have no shot.
Print up the shirts, Jimmy.
Who's going to pitch game one? Price?
Oh, already 0-1.
Porcello?
Already 0-2.
Erod? If he can get him back on the active roster?
He's hurt, too.
How about Steven Wright?
Eovaldi.
Could he do it? Right, Nathan Eovaldi. Maybe this is why they acquired Nathan Eovaldi.
Maybe they can sign Doug Fister. He was a Tiger once.
I mean, really? Again, no Sale, no chance. Quickly, John in a car, what do you got?
What's up, Tony? Listen, first of all, the call screen, Captain Miserable. But listen.
excellent. Go.
Yeah, maybe the Sox are taking a page out of the Celtics book. Stand and pat for reasons that we don't know, but reasons they know. Something that they see that none of us see. Is that possible? I mean, am I just blowing smoke here or what?
No, it's entirely possible, John, except what I would tell you now is that up until now, the Celtics haven't really been a championship contender. Now they are. The Red Sox, in theory, are going for a championship. McCone, you get something else or no?
Well, no, the Celtics just have a long-term window here in terms of winning. The Red Sox need to win here in the next couple of years.
You put it so much better than I did, which really scares me when I come to that realization.
Unless Kyrie leaves.
It's a terrifying, but that's right. Jimmy's on that bandwagon.
You just
too.
Got McBone.
I did. I do. I like that, Mari. We're going to keep that. I did. I get abs and grab my ankles and got McBone. How do you like that? Final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There is only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
No.
The McBone Zone.
All right, yeah, so first up in the McBone Zone. Today was the MLB trade deadline. Always a very stressful day for headlines, guys, here on 98.5, sifting through the fake tweets. So for this, we go all the way back to 2014. Ken Rosenthal falling for a fake tweet.
Ah, yes.
They decided on set there, the Major League Baseball Network, to go to Ken Rosenthal's Twitter feed, which makes perfect sense.
Let's get back to Twitter right now. Speaking of the media, the Tigers are close to finalizing a deal with the Rays involving David Price and Ben Zobrist. More details to come. That's from Ken Rosenthal. We will get into that when we come back.
Okay, so that's how they teased the segment. They went to break with that. And they threw up the tweet on the screen of Ken Rosenthal tweeting that particular news item. Ken Rosenthal's on the set. He's sitting right there.
This is awesome.
Man, they still felt the need to just go to the Twitter and just throw it up there, as opposed to asking the human being who was actually standing there. Turns out it was a fake Ken Rosenthal account.
Back on MLB Tonight, and to Ken Rosenthal, hey, a fake Twitter account. I guess everyone's trying to be Ken Rosenthal. That Tigers news is erroneous. It is not correct, but you do have news on the Twins. What's going on?
Matt, this is the real Ken Rosenthal speaking right now to you live.
Like the guy sitting right there. Why don't you just ask him? Why don't you ask him? Why do you... Someone had to type in the tweet, put it on the graphic, throw it on TV, organize the whole thing. Like, in the time, all you had to do was say, hey, Ken, is this thing happening? Like, they didn't even take the time to spend 2 seconds to say, Ken, is this for real?
This is the real Ken Rosenthal speaking right now to you live.
Especially because when the tweet went up, Rosenthal was sitting there with his hands in his pockets and he wasn't actually typing on his phone. God. Like, really? Hey, Ken! Did you just tweet this?
It's happened to the best of us. Lord knows. I once had a Bruins trade that I thought happened. Didn't actually happen.
Oh, do we still have that, Jimmy?
Johnny Gaudreau was never a Bruin.
I don't know what you're talking about, Murray. I never say anything on the air that's wrong. I mean, mine are always factually based. Every comment I make.
All right, well, so...
And if Calgary's going to pay him $7, $8 million a year? What, Murray? What?
According to Drager, Johnny Gaudreau is a Bruin. Johnny Gaudreau, not a Bruin.
Yep, not a Bruin at all.
The best part is the gasp, right? The gasp. Jimmy, please play it again. Listen to the gasp in Murray's voice.
And if Calgary's going to pay him $7, $8 million a year?
Like a surprised woman. Oh, I should recant that. I might get... Someone might call from my head.
It's either that or Carlton gasping for his breath when he calls Carlton from Tampa.
Guess what, guys?
McBone, is that all you got?
No, so it was not a great day for the Red Sox. They did not make a trade, and then Chris Sale placed on the DL. However, early on in the show, the Sox did pick up a minor win at least.
They do have big, juicy plums, and they showed that again last night. So because I'm firm but fair, I'm not going to erase the asterisk. But I'm going to take a bit of it off is what I'm going to do. There you go. For those of you watching on NBC Sports Boston, you'll see, look at that. A bit of the asterisk, it disappears.
So you're removing one of the spokes from the asterisk.
That is correct.
Derek in Foxborough is irritated with you. Derek, what do you got?
Yeah, Molly, you got to erase the whole asterisk. They've been the best record from game one of the season. They've had the best record in the league.
Howard's in Amesbury. Go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, Murray, why won't you just erase the whole asterisk? Because Dale's going 100 miles an hour. And Mookie Betts, move him to second.
George is in Rhode Island.
Tell Murray to put the asterisk back up there, because Philadelphia did more to lose the game than the Red Sox did to win it.
Seth is in Taunton. Seth, what do you got?
Murray, take your asterisk and shove it.
Yeah, it's like reliving the Bridgies all over again.
That first guy had a little bit of a saliva problem, I think. Do you notice that?
Hey, lovely. Take away the asterisk, Murray.
McCone's finding that funny over there. He's laughing hysterically with his mic off.
Hey, he's an easy audience over there.
Yeah, he is. No question about it. That's why I'm going to keep him here for 7 o'clock.
Felger and Maz.